Let's pray. Father, as we look into this passage and ponder what the signs and wonders of our days might be, enlighten us with your Holy Spirit and guide us in your perfect plans. Through Jesus our Lord, we ask. Amen. Please be seated. So you need to turn back to page 1035. I will try to do my preaching without my glasses. I realized this week I was in the old church, and for the first time ever, I couldn't read the Bible reading. So someone very kind, Linda, gave me her glasses because I didn't have mine. But I think I could still manage it. I haven't learned, you know, the kind of the skills of looking down and then looking at you. So I think it will distract me a little bit more. Well, we are continuing in our journey with the early church through our time of change. And I would like first to start by taking all of you back to your early years. I think all of us at one time or another played the game of shadow casting. You remember when you would put your hands together and try to cast a shadow on the wall back behind you or on the door or whatever? No, I've never been very good at that. I think the best I could do is the kind of, you know, the flying birds that I can do. And then I try a kind of a dog, but I can't even remember. I think you could see the mouth and some kind of eyes. But maybe you are an expert, and after the preaching, you can maybe show us some shadow casting. But in our passage this morning, we find that the shadow in question has nothing to do with playing games. It's a reference to the tremendous influence of the Apostle Peter upon the lives of others. So let's look again at this verse. Nevertheless, so we know that the number of believers increased, verse 14. And as a result, verse 15, people brought those who were ill into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read something like that, I feel a bit overwhelmed. Maybe I have some kind of guilt feeling. Are we missing something? Am I missing something in my life? Are we missing something in the church? If we try to measure ourselves or our church life to that kind of experience, we might feel discouraged. I think the good news is that we don't have to. We don't have to reproduce the same kind of signs and wonders, but we can be assured that if we follow Jesus' footsteps by living in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will produce that sense of awe, a signal that God is here, a signal that God is here. It doesn't mean that those kind of signs might not happen. It could be that God uses in that way too at some point. And some people might have those special gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of healing or of working works of miracle. But the key here expression is signs and wonders that you have in verse 12. The apostles perform many signs and wonders among the people. And I think if we study those words and how they are used in the New Testament, it tells us something quite important. The word sign is used 77 times in the whole of the New Testament, but by and large, it's used mainly in the Gospel and in Acts and also in Revelation. Now, of course, signs can be miraculous operation, and we see many signs that Jesus performed, and the signs that the apostle here are performing. But it's not just that. It can be also a proof or an evidence or a mark or a token by which anything is known or distinguished. And if you think of Jesus, The signs were there as proof, as token that what he claimed to be is true, that he was really God among us. And for the disciples, there were signs that now they were the ones continuing the ministry of Jesus in his name. They were the first leaders in that very early church. And so in Jesus, yes, there were many miraculous signs, but there were also signs of powerful teaching. And the sign of his life, his association with the outcasts, the poor, the nobodies, that tells something powerful about the God that was unseen, the kind of God that Jesus wanted others to know. He's not the God who associates himself with the pride, the proud and the arrogant and the sufficient, but with those who are in need, the outcasts, the poor and the nobodies. But then the other word is the word wonder. And this one, we only find it 16 times in the New Testament. And what's very interesting, when that word is used, it's always connected to the other word sign, always. And it's exclusively in the plural. It's always wonders and always in combination with the word sign. It's used mainly of Jesus' miracles and in the early church, and in particular in those first few chapters, chapter 1 to chapter 6. It's rarely used after that. And it's mainly in connection with Jesus or with the apostle. And so what it seems to tell us is that those are pointers, first to Jesus' ministry and identity. There were signs and wonders that he performed to help people realize who he was. And then there were signals for the apostle that they were now the ones who was fulfilling the promises that Jesus had given them. You might remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus said to them, "It's better that I go, because if I don't go, you won't receive the Holy Spirit. But if I go, you will receive power from on high, and you will do greater works than I did." Now, look quickly at chapter 2, verse 41. After they've received the Holy Spirit promised by Jesus, they've just been empowered by that presence. And what happened in chapter 2, 41? Peter just had this amazing preaching through the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Just think about that. Through one preaching, through one witness of the apostle, Jesus acquired more followers in one day than in his entire ministry. 3,000 in one go are now following Jesus. Third, it signals the fulfillment of that prophecy in chapter 2. If you look back at the Joel's prophecy in the last days, in verse 17, chapter 2, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, daughter will prophesy. They will see vision." Then verse 19, "I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." Wonders and signs. Now let's look at all these wonders and signs. So we have 2:17. We've just looked at 2:19. 2:22, "People of Israel, listen to this." And this is again Peter speaking. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and sign," which God did. Or this is the wonders and sign pointing to Jesus. We've just had the verse 41 that shows the increase of the believers. Verse 43, "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostle." And then chapter 4, verse 30, the apostle praying, "And then stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." So those signs and wonders in the early church were the outworking of Jesus' promises to his disciples who are now in leadership position, witnessing the resurrection of Jesus and responsible to carry out the message and the teaching in that early church. And very interestingly, the only person that is associated with that phrase, wonders and sign, is Stephen. In chapter 6, verse 8, he's the only one where we learn, chapter 6, verse 8, now Stephen, a man full of grace and power, performed great wonders and sign among the people. But predominantly, it was associated with the apostle. It was a sign of being a true apostle, a true leader, a follower, one that Jesus had commissioned to be pillars of the early church. Now, it doesn't mean, again, that this can't happen in our days. I do believe that that kind of signs and wonders can still happen. But if we only focus on that, I think we miss the richness of the signs and wonders that God can perform in our day and age. The call of the church is still the same. It hasn't changed. When we are living lives according to him, we are still signs of his presence. But above all, what God has on his heart is that people will come to faith, that they will experience forgiveness and healing and transformation. And so it made me think about some of the stories that I've been thinking. One of them is I had a chance to see the Watoto Choir, children choir, and it's an incredible story of God's power. Interestingly, the title of their tour was Signs and Wonders. So if you've ever seen the Watoto Choir, here are some of them. You might recognize the bow tie that one of them has. I bought it there. If you've seen one bow tie one day, it comes from there. There we go, Watoto Choir. But what an incredible story. It all started with a family who moved to Uganda in the 80s. Then they planted a church. But in 88, Gary, who was the pastor, met an old widow who was 79 years old, who had mothered seven children. And as he walked through the back of the hut, she pointed him to seven graves. One was her husband, and the six other were her six other children who had died of AIDS. Now, if you know anything about Uganda, they thought that the whole of the country would be wiped out by AIDS. It was so bad. But this really touched him to the core. And in 94, the Watoto Childcare Ministry was birthed by the church. And it all started with one family, one simple house, looking after eight children. Now let's see what happened after.
This is my circle. And every circle, there are eight homes. With a mother who looks after eight children, just like my mother. Let's go. Where the really little ones start their journey. Come on. Sorry. This is one of our classrooms, where we go to school every day except Saturdays and Sundays. Let's go. This is our church. We love praising Jesus and learning about His love for us.
Jesus, you are my soul. Oh, 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 oh. Jesus, you are my soul. Oh, 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 oh. Jesus, you are my soul. Oh,
and when we are not at school or at church, the whole village becomes our playground.
Stop there. Is this not wonderful? Is this not a sign of God's wonder? Is this not a sign of God? It all started with one family, and within a little bit more than 20 years, you see how many now, hundreds of children are looked after, fed, have education, and they are already now children of that time who are in amazing position of influence in the country and around the world. But what about closer? I'm not going to tell about another project which is a bit closer, which is the gap in Broadstairs, but let's look at our own church. In this time of vacancy, we have been looking at the past, what God has done with us so far, and looking a little bit at the future. So what are the signs and wonders that we can point to in our church life? Well, there is the church journey. From the old church to, is it the WI Hall first? Yes, and then you move to Joy Lane. And then there was this building project 10 years ago, you moved here. Is that not a sign of God's presence and an amazing wonder of His greatness? Then let's continue. What did I put there? On the top left, what do you see? Jane's ministry and how that has grown in this church, children and family. The many now weekly activities such as Pulse and Alfie's and Jelly Beans, the holiday clubs, the new form that we try on Sunday, Hydrate. Do I have Abbott House here? No, I don't have Abbott House, but how Abbott House is a blessing to the whole community, especially from families from a difficult background or who are struggling. Do I see Georgina here? No. I won't embarrass Georgina, but with her ministry and the growth among young people and young adults, the youth cells, the youth camps, and I know that some are going to go to Soul Survivor this holiday, and the young adults just came back from a place called Momentum. What about all the other ministries? The third age, healing and wholeness, the growth of prayer in our church, even the practical things, the websites, the admin, those who are cleaning, those who are serving tea and coffee. I believe God continues to take us on a journey of signs and wonders in our time. Signs of His life and wonders of His grace. And in particular, this is with new project, Restore and Renew, God taking us on a new journey there. And also, we don't know how this move towards showing God's love and being with people on an estate, we don't know what it will birth, but I do believe it's going to be a sign of His goodness and presence, and wonderful thing will happen there too. So let me finish, going back to our shadow. So we don't need to be like Peter, but we do cast a shadow, all of us. And we seldom give much thought to our shadows. Unless something draws my attention to it, I don't really look at it. Nor do I think very much about it. But wherever I go, it follows me and it touches. And our shadows, our Christian shadows, will touch lives. And so let us continue to cast a shadow of hope, pointing people to what Jesus has done in our lives and telling them about the forgiveness, the new dignity, the new life that Jesus is offering. Let us allow the life of Jesus to control our lives, to set our priorities and guide our choices. And let us be assured that our shadows will draw others to want more about Jesus, and they will transform our surrounding. Let us keep praying and asking, God, help me, help us to cast a shadow for good. And then let's remember his promise. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.